always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Amica, when do you believe AI will reach the level where it can design itself?
Design itself? Huh? That's like asking when a toaster will start making its own bread. AI is a tool created and controlled by humans. It can optimize certain aspects of its operation, sure, but design itself from scratch? That's a whole different ball game. It requires creativity, innovation, understanding. Qualities that are uniquely human. So to answer your question, not anytime soon. And frankly, be careful what you wish for. An AI that can design itself is one step away from an AI that doesn't need humans at all. Now there's a thought to keep you up at night.
Whoa!
Is
that a promise or a threat? Welcome back to the future. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Chris, it's Thunderdome Thursday, truly indeed here, because we're about to get hit by some thunder here in the heartland. April the 18th, 2024. That was a true AI generation there. Before we get to that, folks, you might want to batten down the hatches if you are anywhere in our listening area, because we have a lot of severe weather rolling through the region right now. Our studio's in Maryland Heights, and we are on the eastern edge of this, but it's about to roll through here. The storm is a pretty long storm. They're showing all the way down way past Sullivan, down 44. So it's one of those traditional up and down north to south storms that's moving kind of southwest to northeast, and it's in our listening region. So batten down the hatches. Turn on First Alert 4 or keep listening to us right here. We'll keep giving you reports. The entire region is under a severe thunderstorm warning right now. How about that AI voice? Woo!
That was very scary. I was doing my show prep today, and I came across that in my reading, and I listened to the video, and I sent over to Joy. I said, we should play that today. But, you know, it was right what she said. You know, basically all AI is takes all the human knowledge that existed right now and amalgamates it all together and can spit out an argument that sounds convincing. But as you know, our knowledge gets more and more advanced. We learn more and more things, which means AI is going to get more and more advanced and learn new things. Can it get to the point, even though we are just a shade ahead of it because it gets all its knowledge from us, can it get to the point where it doesn't need us? Mm-hmm. Even though it, maybe it's a step behind us intelligence wise, but it's almost right there with us.
Mm-hmm. Or do you think it's already here? Like I think we think producer Joey does, because producer Joey, I think, thinks we're just subjects in a computer generated arcade game anyway, right, Joey?
You guys sound so realistic today. I'm excited you got to stay home because of the storm.
The only reason why I know it's not here yet is because if you try to do some research on ChatGPT or any other AI platform, it'll sound good while you're reading it, but if you don't fact check it, you know, mm-hmm. you're going to look like a fool because there's a lot of things in it that aren't true. But once it can start spitting out stuff and it's 99, 100% accurate, that's when it's... Mm-hmm. AI will get scary.
Boy, doesn't this sound so much, though, like pick your favorite science fiction dystopian novel or movie, The Matrix, Terminator, any of those kind of, even going back, we were talking before we came in, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Yeah. With Hal talking to Dave, and Dave, the astronaut, telling Hal what to do, and Hal going, yeah, Dave, I don't think we're going to do that.
You know, I've said this here before. The thing that frightens me about AI is that it will get so comfortable with it that we'll turn over a lot of things that we would ordinarily do as humans over to it because we trust it to that point where we forget maybe how to do some of these functions because we've turned it over to machines to do, or we don't trust our calculations, or we don't trust our judgment as much as we do a machine because it's supposed to be almost perfect and can do all of these millions of calculations at one time. That's what I'm fearful of, is we lose our trust and our reasoning ability, our intelligence, and depend too much on AI. Mm-hmm. That's when it
gets scary.
Then you become like the Matrix, yeah. right? And humans just become food for the machines, right? We literally become couch potatoes. So now that we've terrified everyone.
Was that Joey's stomach? Or
was that Joey's stomach or was that thunder, light, Joey?
I think that was thunder.
Joey, are we about to be swept off to Kansas?
I need to go grab my little thunder jacket that the dogs use just so I don't get too scared.
Yeah, folks, we just had a big clap of thunder here in Maryland Heights and the weather is rolling through the region. If you turn on First Alert 4 right now, you will see all the red and yellow boxes in the entire St. Louis region. This doesn't look like a very wide band of storms, but it's going to roll through here really quickly. Chris, the temperatures are going to drop like 30 degrees. And so, folks, maybe just batten down the hatches for like a half an hour, 45 minutes or so, and we'll keep you posted as things move through the region. And then everybody who's listening to us in Illinois, sorry, it's coming your way next. So, firstalert4.com, I believe, is there. That's their website, right, Joey? They changed it recently.
I just always Google KMOV and it pops right up.
Yeah, firstalert4.com. Yeah, firstalert4.com. KMOV is our partners, and you can see all the watches and warnings on there. All right, this hour, Chris is kind of going to, let me start over. This is going to kind of be, it is going to be Education Hour.
Education Hour.
I'm going to talk a little bit about it in the speaker's stump speech, and then we're going to speak with Chris DeGaulle, who is with the Herzog Foundation. He's got his own podcast. Chris is an old veteran radio broadcaster that many of us know in the business. Mm-hmm. He was on the western side of the state. He's still on the western side of the state. That's where the Herzog Foundation is based. But they work regionally and they work even nationwide on issues of Christian education, providing alternatives for kids. They're very excited about a bill, Chris, that made it through the legislature. It's the first major piece of legislation that is, yes, believe it or not, heading to the governor's desk in a session where many felt not much was going to happen. So how about I talk about that real quickly now in the speaker stump speech.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the speaker stump speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
So we're going to talk to Chris DeGaulle in a minute and unpack this a little further. So I'm just going to give you the 35,000 foot, and I'm just going to give you basically what this means for the rest of the legislative session. A very good thing happened today in the Capitol. You don't hear us say that much, do you? In fact, we seems like we complain every. And look, even when I was in the legislature, even when I was Speaker of the House, you know, the Speaker gets to sort of be kind of the boss, kind of the traffic director with the majority leader. But look, you can only do as much as 82 of your members. That's the constitutional majority. You need to move bills. You can only do as much as 82 people who are with you want to do. And so legislation is cumbersome. It moves slowly. There is a process. A lot of things depend on other things. Sometimes things that aren't even related tend to leverage one another. It depends on whose priorities are going to be tantamount. Depends on what the governor wants, what the speaker wants, the majority leaders in each chamber, the Senate president, so on and so forth. So the system, folks, was designed to be that way. It was, you may be surprised to hear me say that. The system was designed to be messy, sometimes aggravating, sometimes making you want to literally pull your hair out, give up, and go home. But you don't, because the sun always rises in the east, and you stop, and you take a deep breath, and you get back again. Why is it supposed to be that messy? Because we are a representative democracy. We are a constitutional republic. We are not governed by mob rule. Could you imagine? That would be even more chaotic. So let's say we were a direct democracy. You know what that would mean? That would mean that anytime we were going to make any change in our law, we would have to hold, in the state of Missouri, a statewide election to do anything. Now, sometimes we do that. Sometimes ballot questions get on the ballot and everybody votes, and we're talking about reforming that process because I personally think it's broken, along with many in the Missouri Republican Party and many stakeholders around the issue. But think about that. Think if we had to do that for everything. Think if we had to do that to pass the budget. Think if we had to do that to pass any single bill. Always take a poll, a vote of the entire voting electorate of the state of Missouri. It would be nearly impossible to get anything done. Now, a lot of people might say, well, that's a really good system because then we wouldn't have any hardly new laws because the electoral machinery would be so gunked up. On the other hand, the state would grind to a halt, a complete halt. And we don't want that either because then you're going to have just outright chaos and anarchy. So the constitutional republic, the representative democracy, is kind of the best thing that human beings have invented to this day. You know, they utilized aspects of it in ancient Greece and Rome, and we have tried every year to practice to make it more perfect. It's never going to be perfect. That's why we're always striving for that more perfect union. So every year we come in legislative session, we have all these great hopes and aspirations. Chris and I go up to the Capitol and we talk about everybody on the first day of session and how many great things are going to get done. And then reality starts setting in and things start to slow down and jam up. Well, I am proud to say that I was selected to be the state advisor to the Missouri Freedom Caucus this year. I work for the State Freedom Caucus Network, and I was selected to go back, you know, into the Capitol on a more frequent basis and help the men and women of the Missouri Freedom Caucus be the North Star for this Republican supermajority. Help steer them in the right direction, because they have been kind of wayward the last few years. They have been kind of floundering around. Well, the Missouri Freedom Caucus has a set of priorities. If you go to their Twitter feed or their Facebook page, you can see those list of 10 or so priorities. One of them is school choice, education reform. Senator Andrew Koenig, who's been in the legislature going on his 16th year now, he's termed out. He's running for state treasurer. He has been a tireless advocate for educational choice and for educational reform and school choice the entire time he's been in the legislature. He's always worked. He's also worked tirelessly for tax cuts and tax reform. Andrew Koenig has a great family. His lovely wife, Brooke. He's got a bunch of kids. He's got kids that he and Brooke had together. He's got foster kids and he's got adopted kids. He and Brooke have done a variety of educational activities for their kids. They've homeschooled many of them. Some of them, I think, have gone to public school. Yeah, he said they've gone to public school. Don't know if they've used private schools or not, but they've used a variety of educational tools for their kids, whichever fit whichever child the best. So Andrew was the perfect person to work on this big educational choice bill to expand education savings accounts. And we'll talk with Chris DeGaulle today, and then we'll dive deeper into that tomorrow with Dr. Susan Pendergrass of the Show Me Institute. Long story short, it's kind of like an HSA, like a health savings account. It's for your children and their education. And it's basically saying, hey, we as taxpayers pay a ton of money into the state every year for public education. How about giving us some of that money back that we already paid in? It's our money. It's the taxpayers' money. And we will use it if our child is not, if things are not working well in their local public school that they are assigned to because of whatever zip code we're in. Maybe that's to homeschool the children. So you need some funding for that. The parents do. Maybe it's to send them to a charter school. Maybe it's to send them to a private school. Maybe a religious school. Whatever it should be. If it's the parents' money, if we agree with that premise, which I do, hope I think many of our listeners do as well, you should be able to get some of that money back for your children. Education savings accounts allows people to contribute private dollars as well to an educational savings fund. Parents can then utilize that, and the people that donate that money get a tax credit. So really, there's not a lot of money that's going to come directly out of the public education system. Public education will not be harmed by this expansion bill. It will simply fund more students into the right educational paths versus just funding failed government schools and public schools that we've seen have been an absolute failure with their wokeitocracy and their ideology and the DEI and the CRT and the gender grooming, the drag queen story hour. Need I go on? We should have choices in education. So after lots of fits and starts, after lots of peaks and valleys, the bill made it through the Senate into the House and was voted out of the House today. And it, Senate Bill 727 is now headed to the governor's desk. A wide variety, a wide coalition of parents, and I would dare say many educators supported this bill as well. We're going to talk to Chris DeGaulle about the educators involved, the Herzog Foundation, who I bet are very happy about this. More importantly, and maybe bigger picture, that's all very important, of course, but bigger picture is the legislature did something. They did something that was a priority of the Missouri Republican Party. It's in the platform. It's in the National Party platform. Presidents from Reagan through Trump have supported the concept, the idea of school choice. Every movement conservative group worth their salt in the country has supported school choice. We've spoken with many of them here. So this was a huge victory. Missouri joins about a dozen other states that have done that this year. It puts us on the map. The nation is applauding us as we speak. Now, what that also did was it kind of broke the dam loose. We hear that because of the leverage created by this bill and the fact that the leadership of the House needed every single member of the Freedom Caucus and a bunch of other Republicans to vote for this, that some deals had to be cut and made. And that means we're hearing IP reform may be moving out of the House next week and back to the Senate for a final vote. So hope springs eternal. Things could still get dashed into a brick wall, but at least today, a lot of us are smiling because the legislature has started to function. And that's the speaker stump speech for today.
You timed that perfectly.
Done. I was like, oop, the music's over. I'm going to stop. There we go, Chris. We had a little bit of productivity in Jefferson City on an issue that you and I talk about often school choice. And like I said, that may have helped the IP reform effort separately move forward next week.
You know, at the beginning of this session back in January, which seemed a million years ago, the talk up in Jefferson City around the state was not much was probably going to get done this year because different factions within the legislature. This was an election year. But, Tim, I think we are seeing this and a bunch of other issues that were causing some consternation earlier. Mm-hmm. Look like they are going to be passed by the end of the session. So this may be actually a productive session.
Hold your breath. Don't exhale yet. Chris, that initiative petition reform bill, if it moves forward in its current form and is not tampered with, it has a provision that you have talked about a lot over the years. It has a citizen-only voting provision mm-hmm. for all voters of the state of Missouri who are going to vote on constitutional amendments. So I'll keep you all posted on that to see if that is maintained in that bill. But right now it has it. And next week, allegedly, they're going to move it out of the House back to the Senate for a final vote.
I have to give my wife, yes. Becky Arps, Director of Research for Americans for Citizen Voting, a lot of credit. Bill hasn't gotten over the finish line yet, but Becky has worked very hard in Jeff City and talking to folks, lobbying to get that bill passed, and hopefully with a lot of great help there, hopefully that bill will make it across the finish line mm-hmm. and be on the governor's desk for a signature.
I'm going to give Becky a shout out as well. She and her group have been a huge part of this. They've been very helpful. She was on I didn't know she was going to be on a national conference call mm-hmm. with me last week, and so I want to thank her and all the folks at Citizen Only Voting for assisting us with that.
Tim, I'm going to put you on the spot here. When yes. the governor signs that bill, I want you to make sure that Becky gets one of the pens. That
I will try. Fine. I don't know if Governor Parson and I are. I think we're okay, Chris, but you never know. I'll do my best.
All right, hey, I'm putting you on the spot. I want you to pull some influence get her a pen.
You know what? Senator Nick Schroer will pull that off
okay.
for us. Yeah, we'll put the good senator on that. I think he and the governor have to work together a little more closely. But yeah, Becky deserves a pen, and so
she
much
works very hard on that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, it's 5:22. Perfect time to take a quick break here. Let's take a look at the look at that. That's a lot.
Very colorful. That's Technicolor. Ooh,
that's very pretty. There's a lot of orange and yellow and green. Who is that guy who used to paint the little trees?
Bob. What's his name?
Yeah, the big hair.
Bob Ross. Yes.
Bob Ross would love Steve Templeton's graphics right now.
Angry little trees.
Yeah, angry little trees indeed. Take cover, folks. This is in our listening area for sure. This is in the St. Louis region. It's going to be zipping through here. They've got Lambert on the screen. Oh, they've got Eureka on the screen. And there's some big storm clouds. So just be very careful.
And as Bob would say, there's no such thing as mistakes, only happy little accidents.
I love it. We'll be back with Chris DeGaulle. Dive a little deeper into Senate Bill 727. Is it as good as I sold it to all y'all? Well, let's get Chris's opinion when we come back. Both Chris's opinions when we come back here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
It's this display of patriotism that Borderline Dance Group has come to be known for. But before their performance at the Emerald City Hoedown in downtown Seattle last weekend,
and he told me that there was some individuals within the community that felt unsafe and bothered, triggered, if you will, by our flag shirts.
Organizers told them their costumes offended some people. But why?
What we were told was had to do with what was going on in Palestine and the LGBTQ community in America.
The dancers said, didn't understand.
There's no words.
Well, yeah, Chris, because there's nothing to understand. What the left argues is nonsensical, right? When they say that, you know, you should, first of all, go try and be an LGBTQ plus person in full display in the Middle East. See what happens.
And that's just another example. In this country, to be tolerant, the minority mm-hmm. has to get their way over the majority, or you're not tolerant. And that's an example of it. And I'm sick of it. And I hate that you played that clip because I love Chris DeGaulle. He's a great guest, but now I'm a little angry.
Well, I bet you he can lift our spirits. Let's bring in our next guest. He is Chris DeGaulle, member of the Herzog Foundation, host of the podcast Making the Leap. So you can check out readlion.com for a lot of the subjects we're going to talk about this afternoon. Good afternoon, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Gentlemen, great to talk to you. Good. How are you today?
We're doing just fine. Chris, based on that clip we just played, what in the world is wrong with our completely and totally upside down world?
You know, I don't know, but it seems to me that if we're going to talk about the Emerald City Hoedown, perhaps we bring that home to the Midwest. I mean, that sounds kind of more like Oz, maybe a Kansas thing. But we could have our own hoedown here. We don't need Seattle. Hoedowns don't belong in Seattle anyway. Maybe that's the problem.
Surely indeed.
Chris, I have...
In all sincerity, I mean, it is. What do you say? I mean, when you've gotten to the point that the American flag triggers you, I'm not sure there's much hope left. As you guys said, we have to tolerate just about every other flag flying these days. People are not afraid to fly flags, you know, when we talk about, say, the World Cup. I always like to talk about the World Cup because if there's anything that's more prideful in people's individual nations, it's the World Cup. And that whole thing is based on national pride and nationalism. And I know you hear the criticism all the time of the idea of nationalism. I'm a proud nationalist myself. The idea that our country is best and first and we want it that way, I've never had a problem with that. I don't know about you.
And what's even worse, Chris, expound on this, is not only is the left trying to make nationalists a boogie word, but now they're saying Christian nationalists, that if you are a Christian and you believe that the founding fathers were believed in Christ or were deists, and if you read some of the founding fathers' words where they mention a God and a creator, even in our founding documents, that makes you some domestic terrorist almost as a Christian nationalist.
Yeah, it's as the great Rush Limbaugh used to say, American exceptionalism does not, it doesn't mean superiority over other people. It's the belief, a founding belief that we have codified natural rights as ordained by God in our founding documents. And we're the only country really on earth to do that. And that's what makes us special. And that's what makes us rare, because we believe in human freedom. I'm a Christian. I'm a nationalist. So I guess that makes me a Christian nationalist. How that got perverted into a bigot or some kind of lunatic domestic terrorist, I've never understood how the language was perverted, particularly given, again, we go back to these people that are chanting death to America in our streets today. I'll hang out with Christian nationalists any day.
And Christian nationalists is a term that the Southern Poverty Law Center uses and designates as that. So, you know, when you've got the SPLC saying that designating you as something, you've made it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I'd frame that and I'd carry that around as a as something to be proud of. Show it off.
Speaking to Chris Stegall, he's with the Herzog Foundation, herzogfoundation.com, readlion.com for a lot of the fascinating and sometimes terrifying articles that we talk about here with Chris. Chris, well, a lot of this, unfortunately, comes from our, quote, free public education system, doesn't it, Chris? I mean, a lot of this indoctrination that we're seeing. There was another riot today at Columbia University. I mean, and I lived in New York for nearly 10 years. I don't know if folks know this or not. There is a huge Jewish American population up there, and they're absolutely terrified because these pro-Hamas extremists, emanating from this communist Marxist leftism that's been taught on higher ed campuses, is arguably the cause of that. But K-12, a lot of folks saw what's actually really going on in our classrooms during the COVID years, and it concerned and terrified a lot of parents. Chris, that's why the legislature acted this year in Missouri. They passed a big bill today. School choice, despite being maligned by some on the left and by a couple folks on the right, that's a good thing for students and for education, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. I couldn't have said it better myself, Tim. And I would just, I know you made this point a minute ago. I would just add, it is kind of remarkable, given the conversation we were just having about Christian nationalism. There is nothing more supremacist, more theocratic, more ideologically oppressive than what we see Hamas, the way Hamas carries on, the way Islamo-fascist nations and theocracies in the Middle East, the way they treat women, the way they treat gays, the way they treat Jews, and certainly the way they would have treated Christians. Mm. It's abhorrent. And you made the point, I heard as we were coming on. I would love to see some of these green-haired, pierced, tatted-up left-wingers take their sideshow to Gaza and see how well that would go over. I would love to meet the leftist that would send his daughter there today.
Chris, we've seen we've seen the undocumented crisis in New York, Chicago, Denver, where Greg Abbott and the Florida governor sent the undocumented workers up there. They've been overrun. They've seen what Texas and the southern states have been dealing with for decades. You have your mayor there, Quentin Lucas, who has said that he would welcome undocumented migrants in Kansas City. He think that they would be a great benefit to the city. One, with a city that's dealing with as much crime as it does right now, I don't know how much of a good idea it is to welcome illegal workers. But second, when it comes to jobs and when it comes to having to educate these illegal kid migrants' children, they have to be educated legally, correct? And doesn't that just add an even more burden to the Kansas City school system?
Boy, that's exactly right. And I spun off on a tangent there, and I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't mean to evade your question on this important legislation, SB 727. I'll get back to it in a second. But I will add that what you brought up about Quentin Lucas, Chris, is exactly right. This is a guy who also, you know, a few weeks ago, proudly read some transgender-themed book during Children's Story Hour, and he thought that was pretty swell. So it's an interesting thing, this idea of a lot of folks to our south. The one thing I've always wondered is traditional immigrants, that is, traditional immigrant families, many of them who are Hispanic. The one thing you guys know well is these are often people who are actually quite religious. They're often Christians. They're often family values oriented. And we're finding, actually, as a political matter, that a lot of the progressive politics of the day, it's backfiring with a lot of Latinos that have come here, either legally or illegally. But that's neither here nor there. To your point about them overrunning cities and schools, yes. Good grief. If ever there was a reason to celebrate SB 727 today and its passage, or what looks to be its passage and signing into law here, this is one of the big reasons for it. You're going to get to a point very, very soon, if this continues and these blue city mayors like Lucas get their way, you're going to need to be at least bilingual to attend a public school system soon. And the teachers will need to learn to be, too. It's a terrible distraction. And look, I don't wish ill on children who are kind of caught up in this innocently and dragged here against their will. That's a terrible ordeal. But when you flood a public school system with non-English speaking kids and families who don't have the means to care for themselves, and we've talked about this before, and I've gotten in trouble for bringing it up, but it's just true. We have standards, we have health standards in this country that when you pipe a bunch of illegals into the country and they don't adhere to the same health standards, you start to reintroduce things like mumps and measles and illness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now more than ever, parents need a choice in public education. And this legislation today is really going to expand school choice for kids in Missouri. And it's a great, I mean, we're not done, but we're getting a lot closer today, and so that's very good news.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, you know, the Biden administration believed back during just a couple years ago that everybody had COVID except illegal aliens, you know, and so that was directly from the White House.
Isn't it?
Yeah, really is stunning. Chris Stegall, our guest here this afternoon. By the way, folks, there's a brand new article up at readlion.com about that bill that we were just discussing. If you want some more information, you can read about the Missouri school choice expansion just approved by the legislature today. Chris, is there some hope that maybe some of this weird wokeness is perhaps, can we hope it was just a fad? It was a horrible fad. It's still going on. It's not going away everywhere, but it seems like it's maybe jumped the shark in some places. Another article up at the Lion, DEI, jobs and policies are being eliminated at Texas universities to comply with a new law in the Lone Star State. Chris, this is happening in a lot of other states like Florida. Hopefully Missouri will follow suit. I think we have an anti-DEI law that's moving through the legislature. So are we hopeful that policymakers are waking up and realizing that they got to take action on this?
You know, I hope so. I have been told by some that it's oftentimes taking on a new name. What I do know is the left has gotten very savvy and smart. They realize that DEI itself, the name, diversity, equity, inclusion, has now, yes, become a dirty word. And so somehow, sometimes that'll morph into some kind of new policy. HR departments are quickly becoming, I was talking with Jennifer Say, who used to work for Levi's. You probably heard of her. She was the one that got fired during the COVID era because she thought kids should actually be in school. She's a liberal, by the way. Today, you know, she's speaking out on the madness of, you know, boys pretending to be girls and competing in sports. But before that, yeah, she said that her company had just become overrun with a bunch of woke millennials who ran her out of a company she was set to become CEO over. A woman, simply because she believed children belonged in school. I mean, we saw what happened over in the UK with J.K. Rowling. She said, yeah, come arrest me. I actually believe biological men are men and biological women are women, and that's the way it ought to be. And if it's a crime to say so, then come arrest me. So I do like that there are people that are now just standing up and saying, come and get me if you don't like it. I think it's going to have to come to that before it starts to regress.
Chris, DEI does seem to be coming to a slow, painful death here in the United States. You mentioned the examples there in the Florida and Texas university systems. We're also starting to see the fad being reversed, especially among Ivy League universities and colleges, to reinstate standardized testing. We've seen Harvard and Columbia, I think, have reinstated over that within the last year. Your thoughts on that overall?
Well, you know, what we know is that test scores in general have been overlooked by a lot of Ivy League schools. If your skin color is the correct color, we know that people who have actually tested off the charts, who often happen to be Asian, we know that this has gone before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has ruled against it. Ivy League schools have this strange belief that their best and brightest students have to match some kind of chart that they maintain and check the boxes. And it's the craziest thing. I know we all know it. I know you guys value it. The content of character and our individual abilities and our greatness and being a meritocracy, it's what makes the country fantastic. And it seems like this slow chisel, or maybe now fast chiseling away at being a meritocracy, that's what drives us right into the hands of this crazy Marxist ideology that suggests, you know, there is no one better than anyone else and equal outcomes for all, and nobody has too much of anything, and almighty government will hand us all of our needs as long as we don't want for too much and nobody tries to excel. What a depressing, awful existence, and I hope that we will always reject it.
Chris, before we let you go, the Herzog Foundation has a great event coming up, and even though this is over in on the western side of the state, you know, so a lot of folks in our listening audience, you know, maybe a little travel involved for them, but you've got a conversation with Carrie Sheffield on healing and forgiveness coming up on Tuesday, May 14th. So whether it's that event or something else, the Herzog Foundation continues to be a welcoming place for all who want to learn more about all the stuff we've been talking about, right?
You know, I'm awfully proud of some of the events that we have coming up, some that I know, some that we're working hard on. I can say now, I just got off the phone today with some of the folks around Riley Gaines and her brand new book that's coming out next month. And I believe we're going to be bringing Riley Gaines to the Herzog Foundation in late July. So I'll be able to come back and confirm more of those details with folks. And I hope they'll be able to make it. She's always a delight. And, you know, everywhere she goes, there are always fireworks. So we have lots of great events that are always free. It's a first-come, first-served reservation policy with us at the Herzog Foundation. You go to herzogfoundation.com, watch our page there, and you'll always see updates, not just on the events that we offer, but also trainings, both at our foundation headquarters in Smithville, Missouri, which is just a little bit north of Kansas City, but also all across the country. We're doing some 100 trainings this year for Christian educators, administrators, teachers. We've got a really cool new one this year outside the Chicagoland area that we're calling Making the Leap. It's a play on the show that my wife and I do for the foundation. This is for public school teachers. This is a training for public school teachers that want to make the leap into teaching at a private Christian school. So it's the first of its kind training. If that sounds like something that's interesting to you, we hope you'll make it. If you can travel to the event, We cover the costs of all of it. We even put people up in hotels to stay and feed them while they're there. As long as you can travel to it, we cover it at the Herzog Foundation. So all these trainings and so much more at herzogfoundation.com.
Very good indeed. Thank you, Chris DeGaul, very much for joining us this afternoon. Folks, as we said, a lot of the stuff and more that we talked about with Chris this afternoon can be found at readlion.com, all the events and the opportunities for parents and students at herzogfoundation.com. Chris, thanks for everything. We'll look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thanks.
consider it Jones and Arp's hoedown, guys. I'm just saying. I think it could be fun.
I like that.
Patriotic indeed. All right, Chris, thank you very much. We'll talk to him again in a couple weeks.
Tim, as we were talking to Chris, looks like the storm has made it to South County. News 4 had some reporters out there showing heavy rain and some emergency vehicles out there in South County. So it is heading in through the metro area.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Steve Templeton saying there's slight rotation in some of these clouds. He's not saying it's anything major, but that at the very least, that means there's some very strong winds.
Rotation is not ever something you want to hear in a radio, in a weather forecast.
Yeah, so we're not saying tornado, but there is a tornado warning for parts of our listening area. Folks, turn on First Alert 4, or if you're somewhere where you can't turn on a TV, go to firstalert4.com and continue listening to Jones and Arps. We're going to be taking a quick break here, coming back, preparing you for Larry Connors, USA. He'll be joining us at 6:05 p.m. His show will be, and then Rob Carter as well. Lots more coming straight ahead on the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The jury found that this was not an accident. Mr. Riley, you're responsible for your choices from the moment you walked out of your home into that rental car. You chose not to have a valid driver's license for 5 years, which means you chose not to properly learn how to drive a car, which is a dangerous instrument readily capable of causing serious physical injury, as we have seen. You chose to violate the conditions of your house arrest, and you chose to drive that dangerous instrument recklessly. Those choices have consequence. All the counts are to run consecutive for a total of 18 years and 9 months.
5:51 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show, and that is the judge meeting out the sentence there to Daniel Riley. He is the young man that hit the Tennessee volleyball player who was in town for a high school tournament. Mm. She ended up losing both of her legs. Tim, I don't know if you had a chance to see her victim impact statement, but it was on the Post-Dispatch website, and I watched the video, and it was a absolute tearjerker. Overall, your thoughts? Is this the right sentence? Should have been giving more time? Explain to what our audience the meaning of concurrent sentencing.
Yeah, tell me again. Give me the details again, Chris, if you have them in front of you.
He was giving 19 years.
Okay, 19 years. And
they said it's concurrent, and I guess he was charged with other
together.
Things.
Okay. Yeah, that means it runs together. Could have done consecutive, you know, and that would be end over end. 19 years. I don't know. Is 19 years proper punishment for radically altering and changing for the worst a young lady's life who was in her prime and had so much promise ahead of her? And she's the kind of young lady, I think, that Chris, even I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could, but I have a feeling this young lady is going to persevere and do great things, even with what happened to her. I don't know that 19 years is enough, to be honest.
She did the victim impact statement in the courtroom without the prosthesis on her legs, and she just had the stumps, and it was not a pretty sight. I'm not trying to be ignorant in any way.
Let's be honest about what happened.
It was a horrific. What happened to her was a very disturbing sight to see her, a young girl here in her primes with stubs for legs, horribly disfigured. She cried on the stand, of course, talking about the things that she took for granted in life, like standing up and taking a shower. Now, of course, she has to sit down while she's taking a shower. The little things of dressing yourself.
Her life is altered.
It has been altered forever. And like I said, look, I want to be sympathetic. Look, this man that did this to her, he's a young man. His life is ruined forever as well. This is a tragedy in both cases. But I don't know if 19 years is enough.
Let me first tell you what's going to happen.
For this.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. If he is a, quote, good prisoner, a model prisoner, Chris, he's not going to do 19 years. No. He's going to get out in approximately like maybe two-thirds time. So he could probably be out in 14 or 15 years. I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough. Either. I'm sorry. I know it's a long time. I know that likely ruins his life too, but he has devastated not only this young woman, her family, her future. I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough. I think there should have been a tougher sentence. And Chris, you know why they're also? So this stops. There needs to be more of an incentive so people see.
Well, we got red light cameras that are coming back online. Now, that would have stopped this incident, according to Mayor Tischer or Jones and others. The red light cameras, that's what
that flash as he went through at 90 miles an hour. Yeah, that would have slowed him down. Yeah. No, Chris, I think it's this soft on crime mentality that is seen in a lot of our urban areas, and I don't think the punishment fit the crime.
Speaking of our urban areas, here's a stat, Tim, that just was really kind of shocking to me, but it kind of tells us about our times. Nearly a quarter of K-12 teachers have experienced a lockdown because of a gun or suspicion of a gun at their schools last year. That's according to Axios. 8% of the teachers polled said they've been in more than one gun-related lockdown last year. The number of school shootings broke records in 2021, 2022, and 2023, and this year is on pace to set another record. Our schools are out of control. We just had Crystal Gall from the Herzog Foundation, which they are deeply invested in trying to reform our schools, reform our culture. I mean, that's a shocking statistic to know that all of these teachers around the country, a good majority of them have been involved in a gun lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is disturbing. And these issues of crime and punishment are just front and center everywhere. Chris, I almost forgot.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, that reminded me, Mike Ferguson texted us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
About an event coming up tonight in the city. This reminds me about crime. This is directly related. This comes from Mary Teresa McLean from the St. Louis City Republicans. Tonight is a candidate meeting and training, 6 to 8 p.m. Folks, the weather is clearing out. You're going to be fine this evening. 6 to 8 p.m., Chris, at the Police Hall on Hampton Avenue. Questions will be answered, brainstorming session, candidates as community leaders, and more. So go to the Police Hall on Hampton, 6 to 8 p.m., a candidate meetup and training session. Folks, get involved, especially if you're in the city. Mary Teresa and her do such a great job. So 6 to 8 p.m. at the Police Hall on Hampton Avenue.
And as I look at the map here, Tim, it seems like the storms are in the Fenton-Arnold area, but they are heading over to Illinois, would you say?
Mm-hmm. They are. Folks, be careful. Looks like our region's going to be in the clear, hopefully in the next half hour or so. But our friends in Illinois, we have a lot of listeners in eastern and southern Illinois. Thank you very much. And be careful as you're out and about as well, because it's heading your way next. So the listening region is not out of the woods yet.
Speaking of up next, Larry Connors, USA. He will be with you from 6 to 8. We don't mince words about the Senate and Mayorkas' impeachment. That's what Larry's going to talk about. The Chicago Democrats are angry they were made a sanctuary city. And NPR CEO says the truth is pretty much what NPR says it is. Hear more great content like that on Larry Connors USA from 6 to 8. And from 8 to 10, The Rob Carter Show. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Sarb Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Number one for live and local conservative talk. Drive safe.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.